Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bulls Scripted, and we are here to review a win. A win. It's been like
it's a W.
110-102 over the Tibbs-led New York Knicks. Before we get in this episode, be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at BullsOnTap, at OnTapSportsNet. Following Goose at BullsCripted, following me at BuzzOnTap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So give us a 5-star rating and review because that's cool and tough. We're back on the board. We got a dub, Goose.
Before I forget this ingenious idea, can we call the Knicks the Thibs Knicks, the Thicks? Can they be the Thicks?
Well, I mean, look at RJ Barrett and Julius Randle. They can be thick.
Yeah. See, you once again went there, not me. I want to point that out to our listeners here. Buzz is the one that takes it too far every time. I apparently put it on a tee to do so.
You lob it up there every time, and you expect me not to hit a home run.
I want you to leave it alone. Just lay off the high cheese, man. Lay off the high cheese.
I'm trying, but I'm hyped. We won.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel good, and it didn't feel good until the clock said 0.00 because the shit got weird last time, and I was scared. Were you scared? Because I was scared.
Oh, towards the end, yeah, I was.
We let them hang around, man. That was tough.
Well, yeah, but honestly, they were only really hanging around because Lauri Markkanen was the only one who had it going offensively.
And then he shit the bed in the fourth.
I don't think he scored in the fourth.
Mm-mm.
So he carried the team offensively for essentially 3 quarters, and then in the fourth he goes away, and then Zach comes up big and hits a couple big shots to take the lead and push it farther. And that was nice to see. You know, Zach, that's why he's an all-star. He does it in big moments.
Biggest shot of the night, though, Kobe fucking White.
Oh, yeah, the corner three. Yeah.
Struggling his ass off, that corner three. Biggest shot of the night, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. It was followed right by a Zach three. So that was huge. That was in the last, 2 minutes of the game there. Game was super close all up until then, but let's talk about Lauri here. A lot of people on Twitter, you know, people we follow in Bulls Twitter and stuff like that, were hyped up about how Lowry's playing, or how he was playing tonight, and you can't argue with it. Lauri goes 11 for 18, 6 for 12 from downtown. He's got 30 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal. He did have 4 turnovers. Goose, the thing that pisses me off the most is that people seem to forget it's Lauri lives and dies by that three. Now, he was putting his body on the line there in the first half a hell of a lot more than he was doing in the second half. And he was running into the paint. He was initiating contact with Julius Randle or Mitchell Robinson there in the first half. And if Lauri could do that to those two guys who are playing under Thibodeau, they're already physical guys. But they're playing under Tibbs, so they're what is that show where that your hair turns blonde when you're on one?
Oh, you're talking about Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it's like when Tibbs is your coach, that's what you become defensively.
You go Super Saiyan when Tibbs.
That's what it was called. I was going to say Super Saiyan, so I'm very glad that you corrected me before I sound like a jagoff.
Super Saiyan. We're driving that knockoff Toyota.
Yeah.
We're going super Toyota.
We're going super Toyota around here. But that's like what you are when you play defense with Tibbs. And he was initiating that contact. He's running to the paint at will. Like, we've seen this many times before, though. If that three wasn't falling, we're not getting it. We're not getting anything. And he goes...
But what do you mean? That's like saying if Zach LaVine wasn't athletic, he wouldn't be a good player. Markkanen, that's what he is. He's got the shot. He's a 7-footer that shoots 90% from the free throw line and is supposed to shoot 40% from 3-point land, which we've actually seen.
Well, my whole point is I'd like to see what he was doing in the first half more into the second half is what I was getting at.
I wanted anything in the second.
Because I just wanted him to initiate more contact. I mean, he only shot 2 free throws, which I kind of believe is bullshit a little bit. If that first half, he was getting banged around like a pinball in there. But, I mean, he was doing it. He was finishing there. I just wish he would do it more throughout the whole game instead of just one portion of the game, is my point. You know, I just hate the living the dying by the three with him. I just wish he'd keep doing that. But I can't bitch. 30 points, you know, for the people that follow it, plus 16 in the, you know, in the plus minus. So, I mean, he looked really good tonight. Now, you had a tweet about P-Will that I could tell. I was like, your frustration kind of got the best of you there. I mean, not the best of you. I mean, you're right. Like, why did he not shoot that fucking corner three and he dribbles into a contested midi? He's got to stop that.
When he's doing the pump fake and he's getting a better shot in the mid-range, I'm all for it. You're more comfortable there. If you can get to your spot, love it, take it, do it every single time. But when you are passing up a wide-open three and then you're trying to dribble into your spot and you've got two guys jumping into your face and you're forcing it up, I'm not for that. You got to let it go. I'll take the miss on the three. The percentages say to take the miss on the three, especially when you're shooting, you know, over 40% three-point on the year. So keep letting it fly, and it's hard to be critical because he is so young, and I didn't expect the three-point shot to be good enough this early to where I'm saying, give me more of it. Give me more of it. I don't care if you miss. So just to be at that point is a positive in its own, but, yeah, I mean, it's becoming too consistent where he's either going out of bounds, trying to force the drive instead of pulling up, or – he's forcing that midi in super contested land, and it's like, just take the open shot.
Yeah, I think he'll get there. But he did get to the line a couple times, six times tonight, hit four free throws. I mean, he had 10 points, you know, two assists, only one rebound for P-Will. But a guy, speaking of rebounds, DG, five offensive boards tonight, and two of them were in the fourth, and they were clutch as hell. So he played a really good game because I think in the first quarter, dude, he played like 3 minutes. He ends up on the night with 22. He got better as the game went along here.
Well, and of those five, I think you probably have one or two extras that are added in there where he just drew a foul.
Yeah.
Going to get the offensive board. So those aren't going to show up there for him in the stat line, but they were extra possessions for the Bulls all the same. So, no, I mean, he was getting a lot of criticism from Bulls fans, rightfully so. He has been struggling since being thrusted into the starting role here. It's like he's out of place. He's used to being that energy guy off the bench. Now you're asking him to bring it against the best centers in the league from the jump, and it's not as easy as coming off the bench when the coach sees the best opportunity for you to be effective out there. So I did like to see Billy's coaching early. What was it? Less than a minute into the game,
yeah, it was like 30 seconds, 40 seconds in the game,
and it was funny. We recorded last time, and I didn't really get to go back and watch the game and see if we had timeouts when we inbounded that ball to Zach, and we don't watch the post game shows because we're doing our own post game show. So I was unaware that we had a timeout before that jump ball in the last game, and then reading that Billy acknowledged that he had a timeout and he should, I was kind of pissed. That was a shitty move on the coach.
Yeah.
Because for all you know, Zach's sitting there like, well, I guess if he inbounded, Zach wasn't waiting for the timeout. But, I mean, I guess that adds we were wrong. The NBA said that it was a jump ball. I think that's still bullshit.
Oh, that's a – I saw that too, man, and I'm not even going to fucking acknowledge. That's bullshit. That's just protecting your shitty-ass refs from scrutiny for whatever reason, and because it's the Bulls and everybody hates Chicago except the people that fucking cheer for their teams or live here. So
it was good to see Billy, you know, make some positive coaching decisions today, because I was a little down on Billy after figuring that out. I was like, damn, we used to get on Jim's ass all the time for poor timeout usage, and it was usually not having a timeout for that situation, and here Billy had one. He just decided not to use it, and
if I didn't see that quote myself, like, I would have never guessed to look at that. Be honest with you, because I would have thought he would have used it. So, like, I would have never thought that, you know.
I was actually going back to look for it, and then I just saw the quote. It saved me the time, but so to see him make some more positive coaching decisions in this game to start and to finish, I didn't like the stretch without Zach, Lowry or Kobe there to finish the third into the fourth. We went really dry, and that's kind of where the Knicks got back into this. And I know, I think Zach had four fouls. Lowry was out for a little bit, and Kobe was struggling. So I kind of understood it, but at the same time, those are your three best scorers. You need one of those guys on the floor at all times.
No, I absolutely agree with you. You know, Bulls get out-rebounded here 45-40 tonight. Just reading some stats here. Bulls have 30 assists, 21 assists for the Knicks. The first six Bulls field goals, I believe, were assisted on tonight as well. Only three steals for the Bulls, two, six for the Knicks, six blocks for the Knicks, one for the Bulls. Both teams, 12 turnovers, 15 points for the Knicks off those turnovers, 13 for the Bulls to kind of break even there.
You want to know what that tells me?
The NBA is an offensive league.
Yeah, a little bit.
You broke even across the board, and the best defensive team in the league lost to a top 10 offensive team in the league.
Yep. 56 points in the paint for the Knicks, 52 for the Bulls. Largest lead, Bulls had it by 11, Knicks only had a two-point lead. Shit, what else do we want to touch on? I think we should touch on this guy, too. I'm trying to come up, you know, I think I got it. How about Thaddeus Young? Instead of Magic.
You didn't have to explain it. Now you ruined it.
Yeah, I did, because when it came out of my mouth, I felt like an asshole. I did. I felt like a dick. So I had to over-explain it, then it made me feel more like a dick, and that's fine. But I'm going to put it on a t-shirt. Thaddeus Young, 13-8-8. When is this guy going to get his first triple-double? He's, like, right there.
We talked about that last game. He was one bucket away, and it was a couple bad fucking calls against him too that kept him away from it, and he said it. Don't usually get to catch much of the post game, as I mentioned earlier, but I caught about 30 seconds of it walking to the office here, and Stacy and Adam Amin were talking to Thad, and they said, you know, so why are you so comfortable lately? And Thad said, well, first of all, apparently I just can't get this triple double. And he admitted, you know, he doesn't really follow stats, but the last few games he's been so close. And throughout his career, it's eluded him. So hopefully in the next few games here, Thad gets what he deserves, because I don't want to see him get traded. But at the same time, it's like, do you have to cash out on him because he doesn't fit your timeline? But he's just so good and so good for this young team. It's a conundrum.
Well, he's kind of like Billy's kind of like unlocked a little bit like of a new point forward role for him a little bit. And God, who was saying it on that didn't pertain to him. I'm sorry. I think it was Adam Amin was talking about Julius Randle and like a Joakim Noah kind of point forward role he was talking about. That's what it was. But when he said that, I immediately thought of Thad this year, or at least this last four or five game stretch, where he's kind of the initiator and Sato is not. Like,
Sato has been really disappointing. And
I don't think he's right, dude. I don't think he's right. He doesn't look as crisp. He looks slower, and that is something that I'm not going to chalk up to like an IQ thing in a new offense. I won't chalk it up to that.
It's got to be COVID.
He looks slower. He does not look as crisp, and he looks like he gets winded easier, even getting back on defense. That's not the same Sato we saw last year. Even the beginning, like the two, three games that we had him before he was out due to COVID. I think it really fucked with him. I really do.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm hoping the best for him. I hope he bounces back and kind of starts to feel it. I'm sure his teammates understand what's going on. You know, being off from basketball with that kind of sickness and ramping back up that quick isn't going to be easy for anybody. You know, Saddle's not the most athletic guy to begin with, so he needs every bit of energy and athleticism that he has in his body. So hopefully he bounces back, because we do need his steadying hand here at times in the fourth quarter. And right now he's just not a guy that you really want to see with the ball in his hands at all. And I don't want to see him trying to shoot either, because he couldn't shoot before. Now he can't shoot at all. I mean, it's all short. It's all short right off the front of the rim. So hopefully, I really don't know what to wish for coming up. I mean, we're in February. We're like a month and a half away from the trade deadline.
Dude, it just comes up so fast. Every day. It comes up so fast, and especially in a season like this where it's not going to be – I know a 10-game discrepancy isn't like crazy, but 82 to 72 games, it just felt like it was, you know, snap of fingers, like right there. And like AK has like a hard decision to make.
No, yeah, shit, we're voting for All-Stars, trades are going to be coming up. Like, this shit's almost halfway over already.
I know, it's absolutely insane how just quickly it's moving along right now. But, you know, before we get into the next game preview, we have a mid-ad roll, my friend. And I'm just throwing it out there, it's a mid-ad roll. So people aren't going to hear the Manscaped ad in the beginning of the episode. Now, it's going to be in the middle. for the month of February for a couple select episodes. So are you ready for some football on tap, fans? This is kind of read and then tweaked by me a little bit, and we're going to have fun with it. The biggest game of the year is upon us, February 7th in Tampa, and it's time to get your balls feeling super. Our partners at Manscaped are here to tell you to join already 2 million men who trust Manscaped products for everything, I guess, for their ball trimming needs and taking care of them and keeping your boys fresh. So you can get the Lawnmower 3.0, you can get the Perfect Package 3.0. It also comes with a Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. So much cool shit on here, man. I have a set, and I also have the second set, which has obviously not been used by me yet. It's still in the box that I need to mail to you because I have not mailed it to you yet. It's literally sitting right there.
I'm glad you mentioned that you haven't used it, because that makes me feel good. But it also reminds me of being a shitty teenager, and I had a buddy that lived with me, and when he'd piss me off, I would shave my pubes with his face razor.
That is messed up. That is absolutely messed up. Don't be that friend and be a good friend and get your friends anything from Manscaped.com. Like I said, awesome selection they have over there. Lawnmower 3.0. They have the... I cannot believe you did that to your friend. They have the Perfect Package 3.0. They throw even a travel bag for you, like a little toiletry bag that's super fucking dope, and anti-chafing boxers. So be sure to go to Manscaped.com. Use promo code ONTAP for 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's our partners over at Manscaped.com. You are a terrible person for that. This is usually a non-judgment-free zone because you're my little brother, but like I would wipe your pillowcase in my ass to give you pink eye if I found out you did that to me.
Yeah, well, I might have taken a... Let's get back to basketball.
Let's get back to basketball. Manscaped's going to love our ad reads because they're organic as fuck over here at Bulls on Tap. So, anyway, let's get to the next game. Hey, guess what, Goose? We're playing the Knicks again.
We get the Thicks again.
7 o'clock at the United Center. Once again, the 8-11 Chicago Bulls will take on the 9-13 New York Knicks. So just do what you did tonight, except everybody get it going a little bit. And, let's stop with the early beginning of the game turnovers. Let's knock that shit off, and why don't we try to, get with the program here, man. Start the game off fucking tight, right?
But when is Billy going to switch some of these vets into the starting lineup?
It ain't happening.
We're just riding or dying with the youngins.
I really think so, dude. I really think that this is, like I've said, I think this is more an evaluation year than anything. Sato's all fucked up. Temple's not a starter.
So it's just pure evaluation, just all season.
I really think it is, man.
See if these young guys can play together, which they've kind of proven in a way that they can't so far. And
yeah, I don't see them inserting unless another injury comes about. I'd like to see Thad over DG, just because I wonder how like his new little playmaking role would work, like right off the bat with the young guys, like Lowry. The pick and roll with Lowry and Thad was working tonight. Imagine starting a game off like that. Just setting that kind of tone right off the bat. But I also understand
last game too.
Right, and I also understand Billy's logic on wanting to keep Thad coming off the bench, because if you are trying to compete, you're building confidence with these young guys winning ball games, you do want a vet like Thad coming off who can initiate that second unit, because Sato's obviously not Sato.
True. I guess that is a great point right there, that you can't do that right now with Thad, at least, because you don't have Sato. And you can't put Sato in the starting lineup for Kobe for better playmaking because you don't have Sato. So, yeah, the Bulls are kind of, and they have been all season, and they've at least kind of rode the wave that has been thrown at them with these injuries and COVID. I'm actually genuinely shocked with our schedule and the situations that we've encountered with health that we're in the position we are. That's kind of impressive, and we should have won at least three more games.
Shit, dude. I saw someone had put out we had should have been like 13-6 or some shit by now.
Well, did they have like a thread that like factually proved this, or was that just like...
Well, it was just like, you know, like the game that we kind of blew against the Lakers and the game, you know, being being there against the Clippers, the first game against the Lakers. You can't
really blow a game against LeBron James. Like, that doesn't happen.
They did have a 10-plus point lead in the second half.
But it's LeBron James.
Oh, I understand. You see what? Did you see what LeBron did tonight?
No, I did not.
He got somebody kicked out of Atlanta. A fan in Atlanta got kicked out of the front row. I do not know what she did yet, so I'm not. It was a blonde girl. I don't know what
was. Was it the same crying fan? The one that did the like tears, called him a crybaby, and then he turned around and saw her doing it, and she just kind of like pretended like she wasn't doing shit.
No, this one, when confronted, talked some shit. Like dropped dropped her mask down and started talking shit. And then a security guard went over there, and then it got cut off, so I didn't get to see the rest. I wish I would have turned the game on fucking League Pass, but I was too obsessed with what was going on with the Bulls and trying to get the little one to bed. But yeah, the Bulls were supposed to be like 13-6 or some shit at one point. I don't know, but that it was a thread. I'll have to find that thread. But
I mean, I guess the Spurs are like top five in the West.
Yeah. I mean, you got a point there too. So fucking A. All right, man. Well, that's all I got right now. You got anything else before we ride out here?
No, let's beat the shit out of the Thicks again, and let's do it a little more convincingly, so I don't have to worry about 6-point leads with less than 10 seconds left going to shit. It was good. We finished right tonight. Zach gave what was and was always supposed to be the dagger. I couldn't believe they left him wide open like that.
That was stupid. You don't leave an elite score. I mean, yes. Tibbs is probably fucking literally having a heart attack in there right now. How do you leave Zach LaVine?
Do the Bulls have any secret tunnels at the UC like they do in LA? is Tibbs trying to get to the Bulls locker room right now?
If they have secret tunnels, you can hear the echo throughout them hearing Tibbs go, "Work! Work!"
You just got the Bulls players in their locker room. You can hear him. You can hear him.
You stupid son of a bitch. How do you miss that rotation? Work. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, I hope we get to make Tibbs go horse again on Wednesday, and I hope you all join us after that game that is going to be a W. So,
absolutely. Everybody be sure you're going on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature, podcasting needs, following us on Twitter, listening to us wherever you can listen to podcasts, and giving us a 5-star rating and review. As Goose said, come back Wednesday. We'll be back Wednesday after the Bulls beat the Knicks again. Let's go, Bulls.